Vintage Dude Studio, where I do the show from. Sitting across from me is Happy Jack, filling in for Michael Goudeau. This is Happy Jack's last day filling in. I think Goudeau's going to be here tomorrow.
He's here tomorrow?
We're not sure. We'll find out. But anyway,
so
the voice
you're
hearing.
I should be here just in case.
Yeah, you should be here just in case.
Like, stand
outside. Boy, your mic is very, very low. I'm going to turn you up a little bit.
That's okay.
There you go. Thanks.
Test 1-2. Check. Waiter,
very good.
Waiter,
very
check.
Good.
Waiter,
better.
Check. Okay.
866-570-PEN, 7366. That's my phone number if you want to call in. PENradio@gmail.com, PENradio.com. I have this subject I wanted to talk about.
You're really hot to trot on that this morning.
I was very hot to trot because I've been following this story for a good amount of time. And I've been following it all the nut stuff, like Hit and Run, which is the Reason blog, which is fabulous libertarian blog. If you don't read Hit and Run every day, it's every day. It's good articles. Hit and Run on Reason, and I've been following the case there. I've been following the case on another couple of the libertarian and freedom sites. And today it's in the New York Times, so I think we can address it now. It's about a guy named Gennaro Wilson. Is his name Gennaro Wilson, and he's a 20-year-old former high school football player and honor student. He works at the library, except as the New York Times points out, the library is in prison. It's Georgia, and he is serving, he's 2 years into a sentence that he engaged in consent at a New Year's Eve party. Now, during this party, he was 17. He won't be eligible for parole until he has served 10 years, essentially sacrificing his remaining youth to an obvious miscarriage of justice, says the New York Times, and I'm inclined to agree with the New York Times. He's been convicted of aggravated assault, aggravated child molestation, even though he and the girl were both minors at the time. Even if he does win an early release, Mr. Wilson could not go home to his family. He would have to register as a sex offender and would be prohibited from living with his 8-year-old sister. It's all the more disgraceful because the Georgia Supreme Court last week refused to hear his appeal. Now, the nutty thing is that if he had had intercourse, it would be a misdemeanor, and he would have no problem. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, I have this handed to me. What's this here?
That's
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
I'm going to be blipped on that. Okay. He did not have intercourse. He had another kind of sex. Okay. Now, when they don't blip that, it's just going to sound more intense, right?
Yeah.
A kind of sex that many young people hardly even consider sex.
President Clinton would not consider it sex.
President Clinton would not. Right, yeah, right. He had Clinton sex. We just say Clinton sex.
Clinton sex, yeah.
He had Clinton sex. With a 15-year-old, he was 17. And just in case you want to get all freaked out and say this is a sexual thing, and if he were a woman, he'd be much better off. That's not the case. There's also women who become sex offenders because they had sex at an early age. So if you want to find out more about this and you want to actually help, he's been in jail now 22 months, 3 days, 21 hours, and 59 minutes. If you go to www, or as I like to call it, 6U, dot Wilson Appeal. WILSONAPPEAL.com. It'll take you up and show you a picture of this fine young man on his football uniform, not having Clinton sex, but it could be. And I just want to say, for the record, that I believe I'm as much of a felon as he was. Probably not. I believe the first time I had sex, my partner was the same age as I was. I don't think she was younger, maybe 6 months. But I was 15, just turned 16, somewhere around there. And I believe it was Clinton sex like this.
Yep.
Now, the difference is, of course, you know, you might not be happy with this kid. I believe it was all on videotape. At a New Year's Eve party, probably a pretty wild party. Probably a party that, if you were Gennaro's parents, you might be bothered by. I mean, even with his 3.2 grade average and being a football star, you'd probably say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that on video at a New Year's Eve party. But I don't think that anyone that I've ever met would say that he should be in prison for this incredible length of time, or in prison at all, and should not be a registered sex offender for the rest of his life. This is what we talked about a little bit yesterday with the guy with the chain mail. Yeah. When you have zero tolerance, when people get up and make speeches and say, no one that has sex with a minor is going to get away with it in this country, they'll be put in jail for a minimum of this amount of time, this is what happens. And even with the and of course, the thing that's bothersome about this in our court system is that if you were to do the exact same thing now, that is to say, be 17 with her being 15, there's the what they call the Romeo and Juliet provision. On July 1st, the new Romeo and Juliet law went into effect in Georgia for any other teens that engage in consensual sexual acts. That change in the law means that no teen prosecuted for consensual Clinton sex could receive more than 12 months sentence or be required to register as a sex offender. The sentence seems even much worse than having to register as a sex offender. Once you have to register as a sex offender, there's many places in this country that you cannot live, you cannot do anything, you cannot function. And
that's in Georgia, too. And Atlanta has a rule where you cannot live within, like, you know, 2 miles of a stop sign. Therefore, like, any registered sex offender can't live in Atlanta.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's something. I don't know if it stops that, but it's something. It's something.
Look that up. Yeah. Look that up. Now that you have all the passwords,
now that we gave them live over the air.
It's
risky business. It's Tom Cruise and what's her face?
Sure. But I wonder how many of our listeners are felons right now. I mean, I think that in Georgia, I would have been under this category. When did you first have sex, Jack?
15, 16, somewhere in there.
15, 16.
And it was Clinton sex.
It was Clinton. How old was your partner?
Same age,
yeah. But maybe could be 6 months younger or something,
yeah,
possibly,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you would be, if you were in Georgia, a registered sex offender. We have someone calling in, 866-570-PEN-7366. I think I want to know how many felons we have, how many Georgia felons at the time of, how many people like Gennaro Wilson do we have listening to us? How many people who had sex in high school, which I don't know why we are spending so much time trying to get our children to say children too long. The only good line, remember Interview with a Vampire, the Tom Cruise movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
But there, it's the opening scene, the first lines are voiceover, which I always love in movies. I love voiceover. I know it's considered bad writing. I love it. The Blade Runner with voiceover, I like. Without voice runner, I don't like it. I don't can't follow it. With
a new
voiceover,
wind was blowing.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And Tom Cruise, the character Tom Cruise as the vampire, says, "I was 14, and it was a different time then. I was an adult." And I think that we're keeping people young for so long. Trying to pretend that 25 is still an adolescent seems to be insane.
Didn't the 1800s, you know, kids there married off, or people married off at 13, 14
years old? Sure. Romeo and Juliet were 13 years old. I mean, that's why they named the law that. And I think that people do have sex younger than 18 pretty often. But here's Justin. Let's talk to Justin here. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Penn. What's happening, man?
We're just talking. What are you doing?
I'm working, unfortunately.
Well, tell me what's up.
This same basic thing happened to me. I was 17, and this girl was, like, hounding me in high school, like, driving past my house and calling me and graphic things she would say.
Uh-huh. How old was she?
She was 15. I was 70, but I was held back a grade, so we were in the same grade.
Uh-huh.
And basically, after a month or two, I gave in.
Mm-hmm.
and we were doing the Clinton thing.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I knew, there was a cop knocking on my door, on my window of my car.
Uh-huh.
And cop didn't even care. Nothing happened. A few weeks later, I was at summer school, and a couple other cops had my car blocked in the parking lot, so I couldn't leave. They told me I had to follow them, or they were going to take me to the station. And then ended up the whole process lasted like maybe a year of me being worried of because the whole thing ended up her mom was pressing things. She was friends with the DA.
Uh-huh.
And basically for a year I thought that I was going to go to jail for a year. And I'm a little dude, man. going to jail for a sexual assault when you're a little guy is not awesome from
you
what
know,
I hear.
I just think even for a big guy it's not a walk in the park.
No.
But go
yeah,
ahead.
Well.
Maybe a bow-legged walk in the park.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share my story, man. It happens. It sucks, and it's completely unfair, but it happens.
But you in trouble?
You get out okay?
I made it out with, I think I had to do like 100 hours at an old people's home, and the best part there was...
Did anybody proposition the old people's home?
No, that would have been legal, though, if it had happened. That would have been okay. But they actually gave me a restraining order. I was in classes with this freaking girl, and she was following me, and I had a restraining order. Like, I couldn't go near her.
And was it all out in the press around your town? Were you embarrassed, humiliated?
No, my father's a doctor in the community, and we chose to not, air our grievances publicly, if you will.
Now, you don't have to register, do you?
No, thank God.
Oh, that's
no,
the biggest thing.
In Illinois, it was a Class A misdemeanor, which would have meant a year in jail and like a $5,000 fine. But it's something like 5 years older or less is a misdemeanor. 5 years older or more is a felony.
I see.
So I made it by a couple of years.
Okay. Well, see, I just tell you, it's scary, man. It's really scary. And I just can't imagine. I mean, the fear you feel in high school with just, any sort of trouble with the real police is extraordinary. I mean, your blood just runs cold. It must have been horrible for you.
Oh, yeah. Growing up on the North Shore of Chicago, I don't know if you've been there, but...
I've been there. I grew
pretty,
up there.
Yeah, pretty well-to-do suburbs, and,
What suburb, if I could ask?
Lake Forest.
Okay. I grew up in Northbrook, so...
All right. Yeah. Cool, man. We're neighbors.
Well, now, Georgia's law here, which said it takes effect, I think, last July 1st, mm-hmm. prohibits them from living, working... loitering within 1,000 feet or just about anywhere children gather, schools, churches, parks, gyms, swimming pools, or any of the state's 150,000 school bus stops.
Oh,
so
man.
Nobody can live.
Ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Nobody can live anywhere near.
Oh, I'm so glad you dodged the bullet there. And what's become of her? Have you followed her career at all?
Oddly enough, my current girlfriend is best friends with this girl. And we met at a party. We had it out. We had a huge blowout for, I don't know, something like a half hour. Didn't talk for a while, and now we're okay.
I guess so.
Yeah, now it's fine.
Oh, my goodness.
Please do not look up threesome in the dictionary.
don't even think about it. Okay, thank you so much,
thanks
Justin.
Thanks for taking my
call. Thanks a lot, man. I felt fear while he was telling that story, man. It's so scary.
Can you imagine this?
Oh, man. Well, the cops surrounding your car.
Yeah.
I mean, just so terrifying.
I had that, but it was for separate reasons.
Did you commit any felonies as a kid?
Not really. I mean, just the stupid kid stuff. You know, the beer in the car. Shut up,
Patrick. Beer
in the car.
Well, Patrick had breaking and entering. Breaking and entering, right? Now, me, because I didn't drink, didn't do any drugs, I believe this is the only thing that I would be guilty of. And it's a weird thing because we encourage, there's a kind of, you know, on shows like this, there's a snickering, good-natured feeling. I mean, certainly Opie and Anthony, any of those shows, there's a snickering, good-natured feeling towards sex, which I think there should be. And yet we have these crushing laws. I mean, being a kid's really, really scary. You guys want to say?
No, living within 150 or 1,000 yards of a school bus stop.
Huh? Let's talk to John. What's up, John?
Hey, John Penn.
What do you got to say?
Well, my first, my first felony was when I was 17, mm-hmm. and was fooling around with my 14-year-old girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up getting married and having two kids together. But at the time, you know, 23 years ago, it wasn't like encouraged by our parents, but we certainly were left alone, and I guess people knew what was going on.
And certainly, if you were in, of course, you were having intercourse and not Clinton sex, but you probably had some Clinton sex as well, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. And how old are your kids now?
16 and 13.
16 and 13. So they're, would you and your wife feel good about those kids having sex at the same age as you were? Of course, not with each other, but with other people?
Probably not. No, I mean, obviously, as parents, you want to put off those kind of things sometimes a little later until they get more mature. I mean, my 13-year-old is definitely more, sexual, not promiscuous, I hate to say, but more naive about what other boys want, you know?
Uh-huh.
And my 16-year-old is a little more, I guess, hardcore into school and soccer and all that stuff, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But you always want to put it off maybe 16, 17, I don't know. I mean, you just hate to see you know, your own daughter
of course.
Going through the things that you know boys want, you know?
Of course, of course. But, you know, but her mom her mom at 14 knew what she wanted and was right? I mean, you've had a happy marriage, is that right?
Yeah, well, that's fine, but it's still rough when you have kids, you know?
I know, but I mean, that's not only rough for sexual stuff, it's also rough for the first day of school and everything that says, as Bob Dylan says, time is a jet plane, it goes too fast. Everything that says that kind of, you know, the idea that you could be a grandfather soon and haven't even really gotten used to being a father is a tough thing, right?
Exactly. I had a question for you. If the boy was 17 and the girl was 15, and they were both underage, why isn't the girl prosecuted at all?
Well, there was another case that we could look up here. But there's another case where there is a girl that's being prosecuted that she is the victim. She had sex with someone her own age, so she was getting an underage kid to have sex, and the underage kid was her. So it becomes this very weird kind of puritanical psychotic stuff. So yes, and it would be done the other way around too. If it was if Gennaro had been the girl and it had been the boy the other way around, she could have still done time in prison. I don't know what pronoun to use there, but it's bad stuff.
It's based on age.
It's based entirely on age. Yeah.
Oh, okay, but even though they're both underage, if the consent is 18?
Well, that's changed with the Romeo and Juliet law. That's no longer true, but at the time he was busted. And this, of course, brings up other issues of jurisprudence. If the court makes a mistake, things change afterward, should it be retroactive? And it isn't, and there's probably a lot of good reasons for that. But in this case, it's heartbreaking. So,
10 years is a long time.
If no one else is on Gennaro's side, it should certainly be you. You should go stick up for him and check out the website. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, John.
I love your new show.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks. Okay. Oh, yeah. Identity happened to do very well last night.
Go ahead.
What's the news, Robin?
Oh, Howard. It was very good. I walked in today, mm-hmm. and I was very proud because you know, you came in, yeah. and you said, what is it, number one?
Number one overall, number one in all the demographics, and 11% bump in the second half hour for Identity on NBC. Another show tonight at 8, another show tomorrow night at 8. It's doing very, very well. I tell you, they know how to do game shows. I mean, I just want to make it very clear. I'm just the pilot. I'm just sitting in the cockpit. You know that planes fly themselves, and that's really true on this. The people that put it together did an amazing job, and I don't think it's a bad show.
I just got to ask you something, though. I think I would be a great stranger. I think I could be the perfect. Nobody would know. Radio guy.
This is my nightmare.
They have no idea.
This is my nightmare. I go out last night to buy
every Gmail is like that.
To buy a chicken. That's all I want to do is buy a chicken. I want to buy a dead chicken so I can bring it home and eat it. Right?
Can I ask where?
I went to Albertsons down the street here.
Right.
And I don't ever go to stores, ever. But last night my wife wasn't feeling well, so I went out and of course Jeff wasn't working and the rest of the staff.
So you went to hunt for the family.
I was hunting and gathering, yeah. and I wanted to buy a chicken. And the guy behind the counter, the butcher at Albertsons, goes, I'd be great on Identity. No one ever guessed I'm a butcher. Well, yeah, except for the pig blood running down your chest. Other than that, no one would guess at all. They'd either think, butcher or axe murderer. And people in the store come in going, what's my identity, Penn? I don't know. So I guess that's the problem. I'm not complaining.
Did people come up to you, though? Did they put their thumb and their third finger together? I'm sorry.
That. Your. We'll be back after this. This is Penn Jillette.
I noticed if it's really early.
I was going to go right into
it. You were going to do. I'm sorry, I screwed it up. Okay, start over.
We'll be back after this. This is Penn Jillette on CBS Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here on the Big Free FM, talking to all the felons. Just a shout out to all the felons. People who committed felonies when they were underage, especially sexual, we're talking about. I've admitted to it. Jack has admitted to it. And, of course, Patrick had no sexual felonies when he was younger. He had breaking and entering. which I think shows you that if you
which could be sexual
if your libido is not taken care of, you go to other more bigger damages. So we're talking about this case of Gennaro Wilson, who is doing 10 years in prison minimum for having Clinton sex with a 14-year-old girl when he was 17. And I'm kind of bummed because we had calls coming in from women who were the other side of this situation.
Oh.
And after we had one of the guys call and say that they had sex with a younger girl, I'd love to hear the point of view of women who, when they were girls in high school, how they felt about the whole
thing. A woman should not only get on first, a woman should get on the air like in the middle of a phone call. So if a woman calls like that, we should just drop the
call. Yeah, I had a woman there waiting, and I was holding her up for the end, and then she hung up. So maybe others will call in with felons.
Vlad says Gennaro Wilson would have done less time for bestiality in Georgia. 1 to 5 years.
Well, I see. Okay. This is opening a whole can of very sexy worms.
Where do you buy those?
Bestiality. I don't know why it's a crime at all.
You're kidding.
I don't. I don't know why it's a crime. I mean, I can understand why you'd hate someone who did it.
Oh, it's
and why you'd spread rumors about it and why you shouldn't do it. But the idea that someone would go to prison because of this, I mean, even if they kill the animal, I told you. I brought a dead chicken last night. There was a guy killing chickens.
You killed the dead chicken.
I came home and I ate it. And I mean ate it in the literal traditional sense. There was nothing. And I just don't know what's so terrible. I mean, bestiality is that we think it's gross, so you can't do it. It's not like there's damage to society. I mean, what do they think? That if they make bestiality legal, everyone's going to do that, and the race will no longer procreate?
And there'll be a whole bunch of those man apes.
Yeah.
Around the place.
Man-berry, yeah. The one that Gore is so upset about.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the South Park thing. No, I just don't...
It could take over the world, and then it would be Planet of the Apes, and it would be your fault, because you didn't care.
Well, I think you can care. It's just, you know, I want so many fewer laws than we have now, and I just don't understand anything about a victimless crime. If you can't show me who was hurt by something you did, then I don't want to hear that what you did was illegal.
I don't know many goats that give consent, though.
Right, but I mean, but goats don't. I had
goats don't give consent. There you go.
Exactly, but goats also.
So it's goat rape.
You know, when we were at that festival that your radio station did, where I saw
a taste of
yeah.
Bite of Las Vegas.
Bite of Las Vegas. When I went there, they were serving goat meat. The goats there, they were serving goat meat at the Mexican place.
But they didn't have sex with them before they killed them.
Right, but I mean, if you were going to consent to something, what you consent to first? Would you? Did my mic just go out?
Yeah, my mic. Pen just. There you go.
He just leaned against
it. He just leaned on it.
He leaned his ass against the board when he was answering the phone.
It was purposeful.
Probably. Right.
He was 26 when you know.
Yeah. So. I don't think the goat consented to be killed. To be killed anymore than consented to have sex. I'm not saying. You know, bestiality, remember, if you're talking about bestiality and you're talking to Penn Jillette, I'm someone that will not let a dog lick him anywhere. You know, I don't want to be touched by a dog. If you've touched a dog, I want you to wash your hands. You know, and people that go down and go, oh, doggy, 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 and the dog lick their face, I'm nauseated by that. It sickens me. It sickens me completely. And it drives me crazy. And I hate it. I hate it so much. And so I would be the last person that you would consider for bestiality. I mean, I don't consider animals in any way attractive or pleasant or nice. But I just don't understand why if you don't have a victim, I don't think you have a crime. And that's also my feeling on, you know, on the drug stuff. I don't think that that if you're just don't have the power, the right to put anything you want in your body, you don't have freedom. That's all. You nodding now?
No, I...
They can't hear you nodding.
No, I somewhat agree with you. I mean, I agree with
you. But in Jack's world, Happy Jack's king of the world now.
And my next-door neighbor is, you know, doing it with you know...
Pick an animal.
A cat.
Choose a cat.
I was thinking of another word for cat, but...
With a cat. Okay.
You know, there's just something... No, I agree with you that
there's
freedom, but
there's
something inevitably wrong about what that person is doing.
Absolutely
wrong.
Wrong
equals against it. Wrong is community standards.
Wrong is, but you don't have a law against every community standard. Wearing white shoes in the fall is considered against community standards, but you don't have a law. You're wearing sneakers. It doesn't count. But, I mean, there are all sorts of... Wrong and unlawful should not be equivalent. There's many, many things that are outside of my morality. I'll put it another way. I think that all drugs and all alcohol should be legal, but I don't want to hang around with anybody who's drinking or getting stoned. That's the way it should be. So you could say having sex with a goat is legal. I don't want to hang out with that goat or the person. We're talking to other felons. Felons call in 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. I guess this could just turn into, you know, when did you first have sex? Because it seems like in some people's minds, anybody who has sex under the age of 18, somebody must be punished for that. And I had sex under the age of 18. I guess it was about 16. And far from anybody being punished, I think it was wonderful, joyous, and fun for everybody involved. That is to say, the two of us. Before you jump in with everybody involved, there were two of us at that time.
Oh, it was everybody.
That's everybody. That's all y'all. Let's talk to Jim for a second. What's up, Jim?
How you guys doing?
Are you a felon?
Yes, sir. Guilty as charged.
What do you feel about this Gennaro case?
It's ridiculous. You're trying to legislate morality, and they're both under the age of 18. Therefore, how can the court even be involved? There was no crime committed, as you said. So where is their authority?
Hey, how old were you when you had sex?
I was 17, she was 15.
17 and 15, it's the same situation.
What state?
Illinois.
And was she upset about it?
No, neither one of us were.
And
go ahead.
So did you end up doing, the guy who called a little while ago said the woman that was 14 when he was 17 became his wife. Did you keep in touch with that woman?
Well, yeah, it was a normal thing. I mean, I thought it was normal, and she thought it was normal. So, that's all that really mattered.
And she never regretted it or pressed charges. But no. In certain states, with that age range, if somebody other than her, not even her, but someone other than her, had complained, you'd be doing time in prison.
Exactly.
Very bad thing.
Another thing I can't stand is when you hear about these cops surfing the Internet trying to catch predators.
Right.
There's no underage girl. It's a cop.
Yeah.
So, you're trying to create crime.
I've had that argument with many people. It comes up a lot. But the guys that are doing these stings, and the one that's on TV, which I've never seen.
Dateline with Chris Matthews.
No,
one of them.
Where they break in on people that have been doing this?
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
The online stuff, and they get the people to come into the house.
But the really sad thing? Is the 40-year-old cops that like to pretend they're 14-year-old girls in order to have sex?
But how sick is that?
They're not getting any.
Yeah.
Everybody's afraid of them, boy. If you're a 40-year-old cop pretending to be a 14-year-old girl, and that's your turn-on, dressing up with your little teddy bear doll, you don't have a chance.
We said this before, though. If there are two 40-year-old cops, and they hook up with each other as 14-year-old kids, is that a crime?
Well, I don't know if it's a crime, but it's really sexy. Really, really, really sexy.
By the way, Mark writes, when it comes to sex with goats, nah means nah.
That's pretty funny. So, Jim, you're a felon, and you agree with this whole thing. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much, Jim. We got a lot of people calling in, but it's coming up to break time. 866-570-PEN 7366. That's the phone number. PenRadio@gmail.com. That's PENN radio, one word, @gmail.com. PenRadio.com. We're on the CBS Free FM. Yeah, this is Ben Gillette, the big Free FM. Of course, we start out talking about injustice in our country and end up talking about bestiality. That's where it should be. 866-570-PEN 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. Gmail's flying in about this?
Yes. Yes, in fact.
But also, I could be a person on identity because
yeah,
no one would know I had sex
out.
With a goat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk to Pablo. What's up, Pablo?
How's it going, my man? Love your show.
Thanks so much, man. What's up?
Yeah, I was 16 the first time. She was 20 the second time. I was 17 and she was 21. And like I was saying, that a lot of times it depends on the maturity of the person.
Yeah,
and I also do agree how you have so many laws that are kind of are rather dumb and childish that kind of keep us in the childish old big brother hold my hand stage all the time.
Uh-huh. Well, you must have done well, 17 to 20. That's considered very successful.
Well, you know, like I said, it a lot of times depends on how you carry yourself and the type of person that you are and your upbringing, you know.
Sure, of course.
Guys, the way could they pull that off sometimes, you know.
And you didn't feel like you were used or abused, is that right?
No, because I didn't see, in my opinion, it's the best policy. Hey, I think you're cute, but you're younger. Let's see how it goes.
Sure.
Okay? You know?
Sure. That seems great with me. Well, thanks a lot, Pablo.
Happy Christmas to you. Happy New Year.
Right back at you, man. Right back at you.
Sharon Wright says, who would ever thought that I'd be bummed about not being a felon? Since I was 19 and the guy was 21.
Oh,
the biggest
yeah.
crime we committed was he bought me alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting story.
Well, yeah.
So there.
That's also a crime, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
People that are calling in and saying that they drank underage. Let's talk to Kevin here. What's up, Kevin?
How you doing, Penn? How you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
No, I agree with you, and I don't agree with you.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree with you on the fact that this should not be illegal and all that too. And I must say that yes, myself, I am a felon also. But also, say you're like 17 and you're having sex with an 8-year-old, would that in your eyes still be considered illegal? Having sex with someone who is not of the mental capacity of knowing what is going on.
I know that is the hard thing. We've talked about this before. With all this stuff, I mean, it seems like a line has to be drawn, and where the line is drawn is a tough one. And I might very well draw the line above 14, but then you have the problem of the age of the perpetrator makes a difference too. If you're talking about an 8-year-old, if it's another 8-year-old, how do you feel?
If it's another 8-year-old or anything, first of all, one, how do they know what the hell's going on?
Well, exactly, but let's say they do.
Okay, then you know what? You know, that's something that should be taken care of with the parents or anything, with the upbringing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with law. I mean, if you have 2 8-year-olds engaging in that activity, the problem is finding a victim. I think if you have an 8-year-old and a 20-year-old, finding the victim is pretty simple. But what we're talking about is when everybody's under. I think a 14-year-old and a 40-year-old is also pretty easy. You could find a victim there. But, so my question would be, yeah, there's no way I would condone it at 8 years old. But if the partner is 8 years old, how do we deal with that legally? Where is our legal system to have compassion and sense and still try to reinforce the proper kind of behavior? That's my problem there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that completely. And, you know, as we progress along in humanity with more people getting smarter and smarter at younger ages, I mean, I've got a 7-year-old nephew who is more literate at a computer than I am.
Sure.
I mean, as time progresses, children are getting smarter and smarter at younger ages and starting to know more things. And as with science today, with the drugs that we have today or anything, as evolution goes, as we all know, that we're getting smarter and people are going maturing at younger ages. Kids are going through puberty at younger ages.
Well, also that, a lot of that is nutrition, too, that kids are getting.
Very much.
I was going to say, you did a bull's hit on that, didn't you? So,
yeah.
So if the nutrition and the way they're growing up makes the kids mature at 8 years old, what's to say then shouldn't they be having education sooner so that when they are 9 or 10, they're making those right decisions?
And, you know, the whole idea that, you know, we have role models like Britney and Paris and those people, there's always been people there busting on that. So I don't go with that at all.
And I believe South Park actually did an episode on sex ed.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, South Park covers everything. But, okay, thanks so much, Kevin. Thanks a lot. I just said South Park covers everything. But they do. They really do, you know? You got any Gmails coming in? You have that look. You have that Gmail on my fingers look.
Well, no, there was somebody just wrote in and said, also, thanks for the advice yesterday about not using obvious passwords. My password is no longer Jugglers Are Hot.
Oh, that's a heartbreaker.
Darren, I kind of like this. I'm going to see how I can get around this category. Sexual political identity. Republicans, don't put anything up your...
Yeah.
Democrats, you can put things in your... But it must be approved, regulated, and taxed by a federal agency. Libertarians, put anything you want up your... But just don't call me to take it out when it gets stuck.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put.
Darren, you're... A genius.
There you go. There it is. That's how you can tell if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or a Libertarian. Just don't call me when it gets stuck. That is so clearly where I am. Let's take Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
Here's my big issue on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. This kid, if he's getting 10 years, that means he was tried as an adult.
Yes, he was.
But that means this kid wasn't able to buy a cigarette, wasn't able to vote for president, wasn't even able to be drafted yet, if they were to do that. He hasn't had his first legal drink, can't gamble in a Las Vegas casino, but yet he can be tried as an adult.
Yeah, tried as an adult and do some hard adult time, no doubt about that. Yeah.
And this is a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, I mean, I work in the juvenile detention centers in Las Vegas, and this just breaks my heart to see that this guy, because when you go to prison, your life stops there. So when he gets out at 27... He's still going to be a 17-year-old kid, only he's going to be 27 years old.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do? What's your job?
I'm a part-time intake probation officer, which means I watch the juveniles when they are incarcerated.
Oh man, that's a heartbreaking job, huh?
Well, no, I mean it's a lot of fun, and I get to work with kids and expel my nut job point of views, but this is somebody whose life is just gone.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, and over what he did at a party.
Yeah.
And furthermore, the act that he did, it's kind of hard not to consent to that act, I mean, the other person has to be pretty involved to do it,
What age did you hit your first felony there?
For me? Yeah. I was a nerd, so it wasn't until I was 18, but. So.
We have to stop letting the nerds make the laws. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Not
Thanks a
problem,
lot, man. Let's talk to Lee. Hello, Lee. What's up?
Hi. I am actually calling. First of all, I love your show. I listen every day on my
Thanks
way from work. I always think you make the best points. My call is actually about the bestiality issue.
Oh,
that
brings them out of the woodwork,
really?
Doesn't it?
Of course. It makes everybody call in. I actually have a friend who in high school, it wasn't me, it was her actually then boyfriend, had walked in on her and her dog. And it's one of those, you could call the police because it's illegal and all that, but I think they really have enough on their hands. If the dog chose to put its tongue there, that's on the dog.
Enough on their hands.
You know what I mean? I don't think the dog was injured in the process. The dog seemed to be a willing participant.
Well, the enough on their hands, would that have been peanut butter?
That does seem to be the most popular method. And it's funny because, she's paying for it enough. We've known about this for 10 years. People who don't even know her have heard the story.
What are the chances, Jack? You've worked in radio much longer than me. What are the chances that Lee is actually the one that's not a friend of hers?
Wow.
I would be willing to swear on my child's life it wasn't me.
Okay. But, boy, you've thought about it since, haven't you?
Not really. I've never really looked at my Westie and just thought maybe I'll give it a go.
Okay. That's all we can say. Thank you so much, Lee.
You're welcome.
Let's just do a silent pause just for a second. Ready?
People can think of that.
Yeah,
boy,
there we go.
That's nuts. But, I mean, her point of view, it was exactly my point of view. She suffered enough. Everybody's making fun of her. Although the part that people that don't even know her have heard this story, so what? It's knowing who it is that makes the story heartbreaking. But she says it's a friend of hers, and I guess we believe her. She was swearing on her child's life. That means a lot to me. Swearing to God. Speaking of children, yesterday I want to end this by saying this. Yesterday, my wife, I was supposed to work with Teller yesterday afternoon, working some new bits, and Emily is stupid overworked. Just stupid overworked. And she was exhausted, So I told her that she should take a nap. And I set her up in bed and gave her some peanut butter and jelly sandwich and some water, sent her off there. Bread and water, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Locked the door from the outside.
Then I went downstairs and realized that our babysitter was leaving. So I called Teller and said, my wife's feeling a little under weather. I have to take care of the kids. And Teller, who knows nothing about kids, said, you know, well, I could come over and work with you there. The kids would be a nice little distraction. We're writing bits. A six-month-old and an 18-month, I guess they're actually a seven-month-old and a 19-month-old, together for 3 hours, me alone, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. You know, I always knew. I'm not one of these people that thinks that full-time caretakers of children have it easy. I know it's the hardest thing in the world. But knowing something's the hardest thing in the world and then doing that something, too varied. I know how hard it is to climb Everest, but while climbing Everest, I'd be going, Jesus Christ, this is hard. It was tough.
Well, I think I talked to you, 7 o'clock?
I was exhausted.
7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And you said the same thing last night. It was like, I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
I've been with the kids for 4 hours.
And I know exactly what my wife means. I enjoyed every single second of it. I enjoyed all of it. But there was a moment when Moxie looked hungry and I was feeding Zoltan that I just opened the refrigerator, pulled out a Pop-Tart, and tossed it to her. I threw my jug.
Open or unopen? Figure it out yourself.
Open. I opened his cherry Pop-Tart with icing and just tossed it to her. And then at one point I had one bottle that Zoltan was eating.
The largest baby in the world.
The largest baby in the world. And he and Moxie was crying for a bottle. But I couldn't find a way to get up and hold everything. So I pulled the bottle out of Zoltan's mouth and handed it to Moxie. And then she stopped crying. And then slowly, when Zoltan realized what I'd done, he began crying. And I waited until he'd been crying about 30 seconds and then pulled the bottle away from Moxie, who is older and knows what I'm doing. So she cried quicker. Gave it to Zoltan, and I was going back and forth, making them share one bottle. Kind
did
of
you at any time throw a Pop-Tart to Zoltan?
No. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You
at
did.
One moment, I the Pop-Tart got picked up off the floor.
Called security.
She didn't catch it. She ate a few bites of the Pop-Tart. She gave it to me. I was feeding Zoltan. I took a few bites, and then I reached out with the Pop-Tart and tried to stick it into Zoltan's mouth and then said, what the hell are you doing? You can't eat a Pop-Tart. Took another bite myself and threw the crumbs to Moxie.
Do you realize if you had a dog in the family that the dog would be fat and the kids would be starving?
Exactly.
Dog would be stealing all the food you're throwing around the place.
It was amazing. And I got them I got them to bed. Just about the time that that Emily came down. And she didn't realize I was alone with the kids. Of course, she couldn't have slept. But I took care of it for that amount of time. And I was like Mr. Mom. It was just like, I'm sure it'll be...
Where did the going to get the chicken in? Where did that fall in? Was this after the kids went to sleep?
After the kids went to sleep, she sat down and she was guarding the kids.
Because I want to see you with a kid under each arm with Pop-Tarts bottles at the butcher saying, give me a chicken.
Well, remember Zoltan weighs 27 pounds. He's 7 months
old.
Yeah, he's probably
today.
Bigger now. And Moxie weighs about 22. And I was holding both of them and going up and down stairs with them several times.
So you didn't work out in the gym yesterday.
I did work out. I worked out because I didn't know this fresh hell was waiting for me. But today, Emily will be watching the kids, and I'm going over to rehearse with Teller because we start up again. The show's got a new set. We start up the show at the Penn & Teller Theater at the Rio in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Because that is your identity.
That is my identity. This is Penn Jillette, and what's your identity?
Know.